Play the music.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Table,
a podcast where we knew she said spotless lamb.
Yeah, we did.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Cody.
And we're your friends.
That's true.
And today,
speaking of friends,
we have another friend with us.
Returning to the show once again, our friend and yours, ladies and gentlemen, it's Abigail Hayworth. So, hey, friend, how you is?
Hello, how are y'all?
Doing great.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Good.
Super excited.
Thank you so much for being with us again today.
I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. We got some great things we're going to do today. We're going to do a little bit of what would you do. We're going to have some conversation. We've even got some listener questions to throw at you today. But before we do, let's just do a welfare check. How's everything been going in your part of the world?
It's been going good. I've been really busy. I'm in my final semester at Indiana Bible College, so have our senior recitals coming up. We just made it through our live recording, which is like a weight lifted off of our shoulders.
Right.
But it's going to be a really busy semester. Graduation, obviously, a lot of senior things coming up. But I'm really, really excited.
Sweet, sweet.
And speaking of the live recording, I mean, it kind of goes without saying.
Y'all killed it.
The first song, when the first song came on, I was like, okay, all right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm ready. Yes, indeed.
Look, before we jump into our segment, just a little clarification about that front part. If you haven't, follow Sister Abigail on Instagram.
As you should.
Right. That link will be in the description below. But there was a question about a song that she had sang before in one of her ad libs where she very clearly says Spotless Lamb. So y'all ought to
clearly.
Go.
Clearly.
Yes.
We follow you, as you know, and like we were seeing it all unfold. And we kind of talked about it amongst ourselves. Like,
surely this is not a real question.
Is this actually a question that people have? Like, is there actually confusion around this? And I was like, it's so clearly.
It was named above all names, right?
So
right.
Clear.
She's like, great, I am spotless lamb. And I'm like, Okay, let's move on. Like,
right.
what's the problem?
What else do you need?
Oh, that was fun to watch, though. It really gave me joy. All right, speaking of giving us joy.
What would you do?
All right, so this week on What Would You Do, I have a scenario for y'all, and you know what? The details of how you got here aren't very important because I wasn't able to flesh those out in my mind, but here it is. Are y'all ready?
Okay.
You find yourself in a scenario where you are given the opportunity to enact or abolish one law of your choosing. What would you do? Now, I want to say right up front, in everyone's defense, of course, we don't get political on this show. There's things that all of us do not like and would do away with if actually given an opportunity. This is not like that kind of question. This is like for fun. And so don't go attacking people on Instagram or Twitter. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Well, I'm going to give Abigail a second to think about what law she would get rid of. But for me, I would get rid of speed limits.
That would be super problematic.
Well, that is the bane of my existence and the cause of many of my outstanding debts currently.
So that's the one. So that's the one you would get rid of. What would you like bring into law?
Minimum speed limits.
So it's all about speed limits.
Yes, yes. We are getting rid of punishment. We're getting rid of criminal speeding.
Yeah, criminal speeding.
So we're all just going to go about our business on the roads and we're going to be adults, responsible adults.
Abigail, do you suffer with criminal speeding?
You know, I am a Florida driver, so I'm
so
not
yes.
going
to
lie.
Oh, no. Well, what about you, Abigail? What laws are you bringing into effect, or one law, and then getting rid of?
Well, if I had to bring one in, I would make it illegal to, you know, couples that get married and then they get a dog and they call themselves mom and dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would make that illegal.
Oh,
you're not
no.
I 100% endorse this.
Oh, no.
You're not allowed to do that.
What about people who have cats?
No, the same.
Same thing. Same thing.
Yeah.
Iguanas, cats, dogs, birds.
Iguanas.
Anything.
Interesting. She is from Florida. Well, those are an issue over there right now. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Bro, people.
They are a big issue.
They will pay you. Like, Florida will pay you to come over there and, like, exterminate them.
I don't even want to get a lizard out of my house.
Here's the problem. For what I understand, and Abigail can tell us if this is true or not, but I've heard they're, like, falling out of trees and hitting people.
Oh,
they
no.
They do.
Oh,
I don't
know.
I don't live in South Florida. That's where like they're a big issue. I'm more in Central Florida.
Yeah.
But they literally like fall out of trees, will fall on people. Like they're everywhere.
Oh, no. Has one ever fallen on you?
No,
that's,
never.
Well, that's good. That's a positive.
Yeah. That's the Lord. That's the Lord.
Yeah.
That's favor is what that is.
Favor.
Favor ain't fair. Well, for me, I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all right now, the law that I would get rid of is income tax, just so y'all know.
Yeah.
And as far as something to bring into effect, I feel like if it's not already a thing everywhere in the nation, it would be. Taco Tuesday is a weekly holiday.
It's a weekly holiday.
Yeah, it's like we got to acknowledge Taco Tuesday.
We all just get off work every Tuesday. Or it's a government holiday.
There's got to be some kind of perk, whatever it may be. That's to be determined. But
half
it's just like
tacos
at all participating restaurants, or all restaurants that offer
all restaurants.
I'd be okay with that. Abigail, do you like tacos?
I had tacos today for lunch. Ooh. It's Taco Tuesday.
Praise God.
Look at the Lord.
That's awesome. All right, well, that was, Tyler, I just, speeding, really?
Yeah, friend, it's a problem. It's a problem. I mean, it's my problem, but I would still like to get rid of it.
Well, let us know over on the Instagram what laws you would bring into effect or take out. We would love to hear from you over there. All right, let's get into this thing, y'all.
Let's do it. We have a bunch of questions for you, Abigail. Are you ready? Because you're in the hot seat now.
Yeah,
you
are.
Oh, I'm kind of nervous, but I'm ready.
Don't be nervous. This is a safe place.
Okay, well, good.
I have some very important questions that are going to determine the outcome of the show.
and also your future.
Right.
Oh, wow.
First of which being, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, okay. I literally have had this debate before.
Okay.
And I say, no, it's not a sandwich.
We would like to thank Abigail for coming on the podcast today.
Abigail, why? Explain yourself.
Well, okay, here's the thing. A sandwich consists of two slices of bread, correct? And then whatever you put in between. A hot dog is one piece of bread that has not been sliced all the way to make two. So that's why I don't make it a sandwich. And also, I don't say hot dog sandwich ever. Like, if I want a hot dog, I'm just going to say hot dog. I'm not going to say hot dog sandwich.
That's fair. I get that. But so do you consider a Subway a sandwich?
A sub.
No, that's a sub.
But is a sub not a sandwich?
No.
Okay, Abigail, let me ask you this.
Oh, no!
Okay, hear me out. Okay, so the way I like to describe it is you've got the thing that is known as an automobile, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, under that, you've got cars, you've got trucks, you've got, you know, et cetera. All of those things are automobiles, but they're not all automobiles, I'll get it out in a second, are cars.
Right.
So I present to you that not all sandwiches are hot dogs. But all hot dogs are, in fact, sandwiches.
Like hot dogs, hamburgers, subs,
yeah,
regular sandwiches.
You think burgers are sandwiches?
Look, what? You can go to McDonald's right now if you want to. I don't recommend it, but you can go unless they want to sponsor this podcast. Then whatever. You can go to McDonald's right now and be like, okay, I want a number, whatever. Like, what number is the Big Mac?
One.
One. Okay.
Number one.
That makes sense. Okay, I want a number one, and she said number one.
I know.
And so they're like, okay, do you want the meal or just the what?
The sandwich.
Just the sandwich, because it is a sandwich.
And that's, we rest our case.
That's a good point.
I mean, could you be swayed on that one, or are you like pretty set in that one?
I feel like she's pretty set.
I'm pretty set.
Yeah. That's fair. We'll move on, but we just had to know.
That's a hot topic.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
So as far going into a more serious question, how did you learn how to ad lib? Like, do you have any tips on that? What was your experience in learning how to do that and so on and so forth?
That's a really good question. I feel like I get asked it a lot. My thing is I got thrown out on a platform at a really young age, which I know this isn't necessarily work for every church and for every person.
Right.
But when I was 12 years old, I got in the adult choir, youth choir, and the praise team. And whether I was ready for it or not, I had a lot of things thrown at me, including like soloing and then eventually ad-libbing or leading worship. And honestly, I can just say, I feel like there's two things. Number one, it's just going to come with time. Like, it's like anything. It's like learning an instrument. You're not going to get proficient in the first day. You know, it takes, what, 10,000 right. hours to perfect or something like that. So it's not going to happen overnight. And then second, my big thing is if I know I'm going to need to ad-lib a song, Sister Jessica DiGiovanni, she's an instructor at IBC, and she always says, don't make the audience your guinea pigs. Have your ad-libs already prepared. So something that I like to do, especially if I know it's an ad-lib heavy song, like something that's going to require a lot from me, a lot of different words or phrases from me, I'm going to sit down in my own time, even if it's just driving in the car, and I'm going to think and just brainstorm. Sometimes I'll go on my notes and I'll just brainstorm things, like say it's a song about the name of Jesus. So I'm going to write down all the things that the name of Jesus is and what Jesus means and all the power that's in the name of Jesus. And then I'm going to then like put those songs into action and see where I can place them. And it really is just a lot of brainstorming for me, like especially when it comes to our live recordings at IBC. Like I'm going to sit down for at least an hour and just like brainstorm, what can I do? What, and then prayer, and what can I get from this? And what is God wanting me to say? And things like that. Because I feel like I get handed a lot of ad-lib heavy songs a lot.
Yes, so, you do. Right. For good reason.
Rightfully so.
Right. Yeah.
That's an excellent answer.
So it comes
answer.
With a lot of preparation for sure.
Wow.
Definitely.
Wow. That's a very, like I really appreciated that answer, because you never really hear it talked about much, like this is how you do this.
Yeah, you don't.
It almost seems like, and I could be totally wrong, and I don't have anyone in mind, so don't get me wrong, but it almost seems like everyone wants to kind of keep it their little secret, like what they do to like, well, I can't tell you what I do because then you might ad lib as well as me.
Better than me. So,
no, definitely not.
No.
Well, I have a question that's sort of on a different topic here. Last time you were on the show, you mentioned Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've mentioned before, we follow you on Instagram, and we've seen,
yeah.
we saw that you parted ways with Eugene.
Yes.
And I, as someone who was aware of him, Tyler and I were both like, oh, that's kind of sad. Like, we know Eugene. Sort of, how did that go? Like, walk us through how you felt parting with Eugene.
So I actually I've had him since my sophomore year of high school. Found him on, I don't know, like Craigslist or something like that. I can't remember. And had him for 5 years. I just knew that it was time. I needed something more reliable, because I can't drive, you know, to 3 hours away or even like an hour away in that car. It's just not reliable. I just can't do it. I mean, it's 50 years old.
Yeah.
So I knew it was time for me to get something else. It was my senior year of college. I was going to be doing a lot more traveling, so I knew I needed to get something else. So during quarantine, like at the beginning of COVID, I was like, all right, this is the best time, if any, to sit down, and because I'm not going anywhere, so sell this and then find something else. So I put it on the market in June or July. Actually, I think it was July. I put it on the market in July. Actually put it at a price higher than what I paid for.
Sweet.
And because, I mean, it is, you know, appreciating in its cost right now, because it's an antique and whatnot.
Right.
So I put it out there and got like 12, you know, messages within a day on Facebook Marketplace. Like, it was insane, because I mean, people want their hands, and it's in great quality for what it is. Most cars that are my age, those looking at Volkswagen Beetles, they're in terrible condition, and people try to sell them for way higher than what I was even asking. So I put it out there, got all kinds of requests, and the first lady that came, she was like, I want to get it, I'll pay, I think I had it priced for 58. She's like, I'll pay 54. I said, how about 56? Met in the middle. And she just took it off my hands. And I'm glad that it was, you know, not like a long thing, because I feel like I would have wanted to hold on to it if it took longer.
Right.
It was really hard, because it's not just a cool car, but it was, I mean, it's not just a 77 yellow Beetle. It's also was my first car. So, you know, there's always that sentimental value with your first car. It was really hard, but the lady that I sold it to, I was like, this is going to be me in like 50 years. I was like, we're like the same person. So I felt really good about giving it to her. She was a really nice lady. I knew it wasn't going to be like trashed or something like that.
Yeah.
I definitely did cry. I'm not going to lie. I can be, you know, a crier when I need to be. But it was hard, but it was needed. And then God really just blessed me with another car that I got to pay for. That was below my price range. Incredible car. It's actually another yellow Volkswagen Beetle. It's a 2012. And I love it so much. I guess I have a type. That's what I said.
Did you end up naming it?
Yes, its name is Elroy.
Elroy.
All right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So that's what I was going to ask, was that did you love the whatever car that you replaced Eugene with as much, if not more, than Eugene?
Well, his name is Elroy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. It actually is really cool because the inside is like yellow as well. So it kind of keeps like a really vintage feel to it. Great car. I've been loving it. I got it in right before I left to come to IBC in July. So
is it a diesel?
No.
Okay. The reason I ask is because my wife also has a Beetle. It's a 2014, and hers is a diesel, and it's one of my least favorite things about the car. And I was just wondering if yours was.
Because diesel expensive.
Sure is, friend. People are like, oh, gas prices are going down. I'm like, diesel ain't?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So moving right along, I had a question for you. We talked about the live recording a minute ago. What is a song that you wish y'all would have been able to record but weren't able to? I know y'all go through a couple options. So was there one that you just like, man, I wish we could have done this one too?
Oh my word. I feel like there's so many. There's probably like, honestly, there can be up to like a dozen songs that are cut throughout the year just because of, you know, we can only record so much on a CD. It can only take, I think it only takes like 100 minutes or something like that. Something crazy like that. There was one that IBC Praise, which is like the small group at IBC, we were going to record. It was called When You Believe, and it's actually a little bit older now. It's probably about a year old at this point, which is I think the main reason it got cut. It's kind of, it's getting a little bit older, but it's a really, really cool song. I don't even know who it's by, but it's called When You Believe. Really like upbeat, and then it's kind of like your mix of CCM and gospel, and then it switches to like full gospel on the end of the song. And it was just, it's a really, really cool song. We didn't get to do that one, unfortunately. But I mean, what we ended up doing was, you know, just so perfect.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It was great.
100%. And I'm definitely going to be looking that song up. But
yeah,
in talking about this, it actually brought up a question, because it's something that I'm personally dealing with right now, actually, is that you had mentioned that there's probably like a dozen songs that get cut throughout the year for one reason or another. Do you guys ever get discouraged with like wasted effort? Like just things that like we put all this time and work into this song and now we're not going to get to do it. Like, does that ever get discouraging? And like, how do you deal with that? Cause surely that builds up over time.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I've seen songs where it's like somebody gets a solo for the first time at IBC. It's maybe like their first year on chorale and they got a solo or whatever. And then we have to cut the song just for whatever reason. And it can be really, really hard.
Right.
Because I mean, especially, you know, for soloists or for like the musicians, because not only do like soloists have to try out for songs, but musicians have to try out as well.
Oh, wow.
So like if you want to play keys on a song, you have to compete in air quotes with all the other main keys players that want to try out for that song. So, you know, the musicians, soloists are working really, really hard to perfect stuff. I think what kind of helps us, because I've been in that spot, I think what helps is knowing that, well, first of all, learning how to submit, you know, and understanding the power in submission with Brother Anderson, with the choices that he makes, because he's the one that has the final say. But I also think, like, the overall, what just I have to remind myself is God knows exactly what he's doing, and God knows what needs to be on this album more than I do. And if it's not my song, if it's not something, you know, even though I've been working hard on this song, if that's not what's supposed to be on the album, then I don't want it on the album. Right. And you kind of have to really just step back and understand like the greater picture, like what's going on that you can't see, which is hard, but you know, it's necessary. Like I want God's hand to be on every song, and I want him to pick every single song that's going to be on the album. So
absolutely.
Right. Right.
You know, we asked you earlier the very important question of, is a hot dog a sandwich? Which, of course, as we all really know, it is.
Right, but we digress.
Right. So we have another equally important question.
I would say perhaps more so important.
Perhaps. Yeah. Abigail, to you, in your opinion,
Does a straw have one or two holes?
Oh my word! You guys are just hitting
all the tough questions.
Well, these are you know, people don't talk about these things, and it needs to be discussed because right. we all have our opinions, and right. then there are the facts.
Right.
And so I would like to hear your opinion that may okay. or may not be a fact.
Right.
I want to say just one hole, one continuous hole.
Praise the Lord. She has redeemed herself. This is where me and Cody are on different sides of the coin, because he has the opinion that there are two holes in a straw.
Two.
Yeah, and that is not correct. It is one continuous hole. Mm. So we thank the Lord that revelation has been imparted today.
I just don't understand how you are all so blind. There's clearly two holes in the straw. Very clearly.
Well, we will not get into it because she's already, you know, stated the truth. So there's no sense in going any further.
Wait, before we move on. Okay, let me ask you this. Some people say that the straw has no holes and it is simply a like structure that's been bent over on itself.
Like a tube.
Like a tube.
Yeah.
There's no holes. What do you say to that?
I think that's a really interesting point. I never thought about that. That it's just like a... Because, like, if you were to take a piece of paper and kind of make it into a tube like that, would the paper have a hole in it? Paper wouldn't have a hole in it.
Oh, man, I didn't think of it like that.
But when you created the structure...
But when you created it...
I guess it depends on how you create it. Because if you have a tubular piece of plastic and then put a hole through it and that makes
right.
a straw, then
right.
that's one hole. Whereas yeah. if you just wrap something into the shape of a straw, that's
yeah.
no holes. It's just... A tube
it's just
structure.
A tube.
So I guess yeah. it's contingent upon how the hole was made. Wow.
Yeah, I guess.
Last week, me and my wife were at Olive Garden, and she had to take the paper off of her straw. So she did so by, like, just cramming it as hard as she could, like, onto the table, and it bent. And I was like, you just created a third hole in your straw.
Ugh.
Like, that's what she did. Because
that guy.
She actually wound up, like, the whole side of it, like, broke off.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to ask for another straw. But anyway.
Well,
I'm
glad
sad.
That we were able to get that that revelation out there for one of our listeners to hear
well,
the
you're
truth.
Now, she's now on record as saying that it has one hole.
Right, yes. So
which makes me sad.
Praise the Lord. Okay. So, Abigail, we, as you saw, on Instagram, we had asked our listeners if they had any questions for you.
And they do, just
yes.
so you know.
Yes. I'm talking, like, so many different questions that we are going to try to get. We're going to try to get to all of them, but if we don't, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say this up front, listeners. We're going to try our best to pronounce your Instagram handles right, but some of y'all got some weird handles.
Stop it.
Well, I'm just saying, I love you to death, but y'all got some strange handles, but that's okay.
We're just illiterate. That's our problem.
It's true. Some of us believe that. Well, never mind.
And stop it. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start off. Queen_Emma_. I guess this person is royalty somehow. I sincerely doubt it.
Oh,
just kidding. She asked, "Do you have a favorite water you drink when you're singing?" Which is important because as singers, we drink water regularly, so we gotta know.
Yeah, I feel so. I don't really drink, just like on another hand, I don't really drink like soda really.
Right.
I'll treat myself with one every now and then, but like I yeah. always have a water on me, like even when I'm not singing, like in my purse or like yeah. in my car, like always. But when I'm singing, for sure, I at least have one. Like when Praise or when Chorale goes out with IBC, I'm going to have like three waters up there with me at a time during service.
So do you have a specific brand?
Okay. Well, when I'm in Florida, I'm a spring water kind of gal.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had Zephyr Hills, which is like the best water in Florida, hands
wow.
down. Here in Indiana, they don't have that. They have the closest I've found to it is something called Ice Mountain, which it's pretty good. But I really drink anything, but spring water is definitely my favorite.
I've heard of neither of those.
What do you think about Fiji water?
I've had Fiji water. It's pretty good. Fiji water is pretty good.
I like the bottle. I was got like the
yeah,
flower on
there.
Yeah,
that's the best part. Yeah, that's the best part.
I like definitely. The big vitamin water, mostly just because it's just a big tall drink of
yeah.
water.
Yeah. There you go. All right, let's see here. _Mandy_ ask, how did you know God called you to the ministry of music?
That's a really good question. I don't necessarily think that I'm called to music ministry. There was a need in my church for people to be involved in music, and I just filled that need. Because I don't think I've ever heard the audible voice of God. I think people do hear the audible voice of God, but for me, mm-hmm. I haven't. And I didn't hear him say, like, go be a singer or something like that. I think there's a call. God's called me to reach souls for sure. And mm-hmm. whether, you know, and I'm thankful that God gave me the ability to be able to sing and share this gospel through my voice and through the talents that he's so graciously blessed me with. But I really do think it's more just about my calling is for lost souls. That's what it's always going to be about. But I mean, singing is a great way for me to do that for sure.
Amen.
Yeah, 100%. That's great. And that's one thing that like a lot of us like have to keep in mind when we are leading worship. We are leading worship. We are ministering right. to people during service and yeah. stuff. Like that's very well put. Very well put.
Hear, hear.
Oh, my turn. So looking here at Annabelle 1245, she asked, do you have a different dream job? Like, basically, what is your dream job?
Oh, okay. So I grew up so involved in musical theater in my community, in my church, in my schools, like high school, middle school, elementary school. Like I was always doing some musical, some play, some drama, something. I even did like drama competitions in high school. So yeah, you know how people always say, like, if they are in church, they'd be doing this.
Yeah.
They always say that, you know, if I wasn't giving my life to the Lord, I would like be on Broadway right now trying yeah. to, you know, be in some musical.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, if I wasn't here at IBC, I'm currently doing University of Florida online part-time while I'm at IBC, and I'm getting a telecommunications degree. So I feel like my dream job would be to be like a news broadcaster for,
right.
you know, some
wow.
something or a production company somewhere. I would love to do that.
That's really
sure.
cool.
Or like a professional podcaster maybe.
Oop.
Let's see here. Man, we got so many. Okay.
Now, we do also have a couple that have asked multiple questions. So if we ask one of their additional questions, we may not go over their handle again.
That is one of these right now. What kind of vocal exercises and warm-ups do you do before a long concert or recording?
Cool. So I have like a few that I go back and forth between that I like. I really like doing lip trills, which is,
yes.
you know, like making the buzz sound through your lips. And I'll even do that. Like if there's a song that I feel like I can't hit like a top note or a high note, those are always great to really understand like how much breath support you need to hit those notes. So I love doing lip trills. I also love something that I started doing probably like a year or two ago. Cause I actually been taking vocal lessons while at IBC too. And it's just a simple like using numbers to walk up a scale, and you're gonna go 1, 1, 2, 1,
yes.
1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2. And I love doing that. I love any kind of warm-ups that are gonna work on like forward resonance. So
yeah.
that like going up really high on a scale with the nay, like a nay nay sound.
Mm-hmm.
I love those. Because I feel like one of my weakest points are I have some pretty bad breaks in my voice between like my chest voice and my head voice. So working like with that forward resonance, I really enjoy those kinds of warm-ups.
I feel that. Do you ever like look up anything on YouTube like and follow those warm-ups, or do you just do?
Oh, yeah. I have like a couple iTunes or Apple Music albums that I use that I've used for the past couple of years. That's usually what I go to, and I'll just hit play, like whether it's in the car or like before service or before a concert, and just run through them. Even our weekly practices with praise and chorale, I'll run through those.
Wow, I didn't know they had those on Apple Music. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, he's definitely gonna do that.
Right. So that was actually like based what you just said a minute ago with the with the transition from chest voice to head voice, like, was one of your weaker areas. Did you have any other area of music and singing that just, like, gave you just a lot of trouble in general?
Yes. Okay. So I feel like when I sing, you're going to hear, and usually it's because of the styles that I am asked to sing, you're going to get, like, my crazy, like, screaming voice.
Right.
But I also feel like sometimes if I sing something a little more low, or maybe something that's a really comfortable range for me, it sounds like I have a completely different voice. So, like, the past year in my lessons, we've been really working on trying to find that sweet middle in between this, like, crazy screaming lady and this really sweet, like, almost princess sound, and trying to find the middle, because I like both, but it sounds, I literally sound like two different people. Like, if I were to play one and play the other, you'd think they're two different people. So that's something I've struggled with, is just finding, like, that personal identity and sound and tone, and working with that.
Nice.
You referenced your, as you called it, your crazy screaming lady voice. You said that, not me. I wouldn't call it that. HaleyMC_882. She asked, have you always basically had that, the ability to access that voice, or did you have to learn how to do it?
Oh, it was definitely a learning thing. I remember my first couple solos, like in our adult choir, were like a little bit of sweeter songs, but then I got assigned, I don't even remember what song it was, but I remember singing it. Oh, it was How Majestic. And it, Sister Vonnie Lopez sings the original. And I remember getting assigned that, and I was like, I want to, you know, sing the song in all its glory. Like, I want to do it the right way. And so I do believe that, you know, like, mimicking is a really great, not that you want to copy somebody, but learning to mimic a style or a sound is a really valuable tool as a singer and musician.
Right.
And so I just kind of learned, like, I was like trying to get with her tone, and like, because it's not just like screaming, but it's also like the way you phrase your words, and it's really specific, like enunciation. And when you pronounce words, it's like really specific.
Right.
And so
right.
It was something that started with that. And then I realized, oh, I kind of like that. And I mean, you can use that a lot in apostolic music.
Oh, yes.
So I think from that point on, I was probably like 15 or 16 years old. From that point on, it was something that started developing and I started working on for sure.
So you mentioned like How Majestic and Sister Vonnie Lopez. Obviously, she tears that song up. Is she like a musical influence of yours, or is there anybody else that's a vocal influence? This actually was a question that came from Katie Rink on Instagram,
who we know as Katie Rinkle.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I love
Shout out
her.
To fam.
Yes, she was wondering what other vocal influence.
Well, she's my vocal influence. Katie Rinkle is my number one vocal influence. She's insane.
She pretty good, I ain't gonna lie.
I didn't really know Vonnie Lopez or listen to her that much as when I was younger, but she definitely, like, when I got older and I started listening to her more, her for sure. Someone that I always listened to as a kid was Sharon McKee. I always loved Sharon McKee. Just her ability is insane. Like, she's insane. Whether you like what she does or not, she's insane. Like, the things that she can do. I'm trying to think. There are a lot of people, like, in my life, like personal people, like at my church. Like, there was a lady that leads worship at my church a lot, Sister Mady. She's like, I got a strong alto voice, and I always loved listening to her sing and watching her lead worship. I'm trying to think. I feel like Florida, you know, if you go to Florida camps and Florida conferences, there's so many talented singers that we just get to listen to. So
yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you know Rashidi Collins and his wife.
Yes.
They are pastors in the Tampa area, and they both are insane singers. Like,
he's so good.
They would lead worship every year at Florida camp meeting, and those are definitely people that I look up to as well.
So you were talking about people that you look up to. Somebody on Instagram asked a very important question that has a right and wrong answer. And we're going to do it on this podcast. So no, sister, I'm so sorry if I mess up your Instagram handle. Natete B. She wants to know who your favorite praise altos are, and she has the answers in parentheses. So
I know what the answers are. They're Libby Donaldson and Natalia Benthal. That's what she's looking for.
There you go.
There you go. She gave the correct answer, but we're going to move on so we don't hurt anybody's feelings.
I'll just ask this one. It's a question. I feel okay. When this was one of the first questions that came in, and from the moment I saw it, I was like, I feel like there's an interesting story there. Maybe there is, maybe there's not. But Kate_Phillips_ asks, can she finish this sentence? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one ...
Wife. I knew, I was so confident. No, it's one voice.
Oh, wait. Okay.
No, listen. Okay, there's a story.
I must hear it.
Okay, so you guys know Reverend Paul Mooney.
Yes.
Okay, I don't even remember. Oh, it was at our, every year IBC goes to we go to these trails in Indiana. It's Brown County, Indiana, like really pretty. And so somebody interviewed him for like a social media, I don't know, some kind of post.
Yeah.
And they're like, Brother Mooney, say something. And he goes, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one wife. And we lost our minds. But because it's from the person that sent it, I know that it's one voice.
Yeah, but one wife was a pretty great answer.
One wife is a better answer, though.
I will only accept
one wife.
I meant to say I will only accept the answer that is one wife. But yes, I only have one wife and will keep it that way. Oh, my goodness. That was hilarious. That gave me life. Oh, my word.
Okay, bringing you back some. Cody, I need you to gather yourself. Oh, man, that was great. Oh,
okay, I'm back. I'm back.
Oh,
I'm here.
Lord.
I'm
here. Okay.
Oh, that was fantastic.
So, Brielle_biting asked, again, I'm sorry if I messed that up, are you able to get that amazing volume and range naturally or through practice? I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to let you answer that.
Okay. Yeah, definitely through practice.
Right.
A big thing, actually, before I even took vocal lessons was being in musical theater, mm-hmm. because a big part of it is learning to project.
Right.
And I remember her name was Miss French, and she was like over all the vocals and music for, it was a production of Beauty and the Beast, no, Wizard of Oz. And I was a part of the ensemble. And I mean, we spent, because I would say that I used to be a pretty timid, quiet singer. And I mean, every day we came in and she always found me and she's like, all right, we're going to work on this today. And so that definitely helped me a lot with my volume for sure. And then the range as well just came through time, through a ton of practice, vocal lessons, singing every week, warming up every day. That's what helped my range increase the most.
I feel
nice.
That.
Nice.
Nolani_Kidwell.
We're going to stop apologizing for these mispronunciations. just know.
Just know that we mean well.
Just know that we're trying our best.
It's not on purpose. Anyway. What is your morning prayer /devotion routine?
That's a really good question. I feel like some days it's going to change because I really don't like routine. I like spontaneity in my schedule. I like change a lot. But this is actually a system that's really common that I learned at like a prayer conference or a youth prayer meeting or something like that. And it looks like a big circle. And so what you'll start off with is like praise and thanksgiving. And so I always start off with reminding myself like how great our God is, who he is, right. Reminding myself like what he can do, and then going into thanksgiving, so thanking him for not only who he is but for what he's done, and then immediately into a time of repentance because I gotta die daily,
right?
and then going into, usually I go into intercession after that. Sometimes I may have something like in my life that I specifically need to pray for, like before live, like that would be always be something that would come after repentance, praying over that. But, intercession for specific needs or for other people or, for my family, anything like that. And then I'll go into time of like things that I know that I need to personally pray for, whether it be decisions I need to make or clarity or whatever, peace of mind, strength, pray for my own needs, and then end again with praise and thanksgiving. That was something, I cannot think of the name of it, but it's like this big circle, and I think it's called like the prayer wheel or something like that.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I've got one of those.
And Brother Mooney actually taught on it too. But that was a really great system for me. Works really well for me. Sometimes I do have to change it up just because I know how I am. Because I just can't do the same thing every single day. It will kill me.
Right.
I just can't. But then also, and then praying out loud for sure. That helps me a lot too. Paying attention and staying focused for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Well, like you've talked about your routine and like we've talked about how busy you are and stuff like that. Like it's very easy, especially in today's age, to get overwhelmed. One of our questions that was asked was, when you do feel overwhelmed, what's something that you usually do as a relief? I mean, aside from obviously prayer, is there any one specific thing that you do as a relief? Like, I gotta decompress.
Okay. It can be like anything. It doesn't have to be like spiritual.
No, it doesn't have to be spiritual. I take a personal day and I just go do whatever I want to do and don't do anything.
I chill in my hammock. So.
Okay. I love doing face masks, and I feel like I always have at least like 2 jars of different kinds of face masks. That's something I'll do for sure to decompress. A face mask, maybe like, I'm a really, like, I know rewards, like rewarding myself is a motivation for me. So like chocolate or something like that, like that's always a big thing to like decompress. Definitely being like, I feel like I'm an extroverted person, but definitely for sure having that time alone is one of the biggest things for me. Like, I know I have a social meter, and when I reach the top, like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So being alone, and then, yes, the face mask, all the girly stuff, self-care.
What's your favorite chocolate?
Oh, okay. My family has been eating these for years. Well, okay, the brand is Cadbury, but they're the little Easter eggs. They come around during Easter, they're like the Easter chocolate eggs. Oh, my word. I can eat a whole bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're terrible. Oh, my word.
They are very good, though, at the same time.
Yes, I know they're so bad for me, and I shouldn't, but they are so good. Love them.
So aside from like face mask, hair care and stuff like that, do you have any other hobbies, like anything that you do aside from anything that's not music related that you like to do in your free time?
Okay, so my people close to me always make fun of me because they're like, you have no hobbies, you just like music and you work really hard. But I like I've actually started getting into plants, which I know like everybody's doing that, but I have 5 in my room right now. My favorite one is my snake plant. He's getting really tall, but
nice.
Plants, when I was younger, and I feel like I turn back to it a lot, like art, I doodle so much. Like, I am the worst doodler in the world, but I just recently got myself one of those paint by number, things, which I got during quarantine, but because of COVID and everything, it didn't get to me until like October.
It
was like, I literally bought it in like June and it did not come until way later. But I've always loved drawing or doodling. That's also a decompressor too, probably, for me.
I feel that. Have you ever reached a point in life where you wanted to just quit music or singing?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I'm thinking about it right now, actually.
Yes. Oh, my word. I mean, just even right now, it's so crazy. I'm not going to, but.
Thank you.
Right. The world thanks you.
Right. I couldn't do that. But, you know, like, especially around IBC, you think, like, I thought at home that I was in music a lot and that I sang a lot. And then you get to IBC and you're a music student and you realize what it means to be engulfed in music. Like, because it's not only what I do, you know, with chorale and choir and praise, but I'm literally learning and I'm a music student. And so it's my homework. It's what I go to class for. It's my juries, my lessons, my everything is evolving around music, music theory, everything. So there have been a lot of days where I'm just like, oh my word, I don't want to listen to one more song. I don't want to sing one more note. Like, I'm so sick of it. But I think the benefits outweigh the all the hard work and the all the practices and all the long nights and all the homework and everything.
Well, it definitely pays off.
Yeah, it really does. It's worth it.
So, like, you are obviously heavily involved in music. Like, you just went over, like, that consumes most of your life. Well, with IBC, like you mentioned, this is your last semester there. What one of our listeners, Travis.Thomas, wants to know what your plans are after IBC. I know you're going to Florida University Online part-time, but is it just going to be focusing on that, or is there any other plans?
It's funny because that you said this, because I reposted your little, put in a question that you want her to answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't understand what I was doing, so they just commented on my story and like asked that question. And I think they meant to put it like in the box.
Oh,
they
didn't know how to do
that. They asked that same question. Yes. So I have about, after this semester, I have about 20 credits left with the University of Florida. So I plan on graduating in the fall or after the fall semester, hopefully, depending on how the summer goes. If I go full time in the summer. I want to get that done. God is opening up some doors. I've just been praying for a lot of direction in my life. There's like some doors that have been opened that most IBC seniors don't get, especially being a music student. So I'm just trying to get a lot of clarity. It's hard because you're going from, this IBC community, and then you leave this little bubble and go to the real world. And it's like, oh my word, like I have to get a job and I have to be an adult now. And I can't, live as a college student anymore. So, but just taking it one day at a time. I have to make big decisions soon though, but I'll probably keep updating on social media for sure. But the plan would be right now to go back to Florida, at least until I finish UF Online.
Right.
I have to ask this question for the ladies, because some of them are just dying to know. What is your hair care situation?
Like? That's a good question. Okay. I have really, really curly hair, and I hide it a lot, like especially when I have to keep my hair up, like for a church service or whatever. It gets hidden a lot, and I kind of brush the curls out, but I love my curly hair. It's funny that you asked this, because I actually for years used this brand. It's called Diva Curl, D-E-V-A, and then Curl, and it actually came out like a year ago or 2 years ago that they were lying about what they were putting in their products. And then like a ton of customers were complaining about hair loss and all these terrible things. And I was kind of going through a similar situation. So then I completely switched over. I was using a brand that you can get at Walmart. Like it's literally $10, super cheap. It's called Not Your Mother's. I used that for a while. I love it. I love it so much. And there's a specific like curly hair, brand, but I have a friend whose mom bought me this brand. It's called Love Your Curls. And it's like a three-step thing. You have shampoo, conditioner, and then an after wash, like leave-in kind of defrizzing, kind of like enhance your curls little gel. And I am loving it. It has been working so, so well. I don't really do anything outside of those. I'm nervous to put a ton of product in my hair.
Right.
I mean, like I'll put hairspray in it, if I'm going to put it up, but, just for like shampoo, conditioner, that kind of stuff, I just use Love Your Curl, love. And then like, you are like the text, Love Your Curls. I've been using it for about 2 months now and I really, really like it. I'm already seeing a lot of change.
Well, as two men with lots and lots of luminous curly hair,
yeah.
We can't wait to try this out ourselves.
I think I may have fallen victim to some of those products that make your hair fall out.
Stop it.
Well, it is what it is.
Abigail, we were wrapping up. We only have a couple questions left for you. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get to everybody's question. Again, that wasn't anything that we planned on doing. We just we would be here all night if we asked
it just,
all.
It just be like that.
It just be like that. My question to you is, are there any plans for a single coming up?
You know, you're not the first person to ask me that, so I feel like God is trying to tell me something.
I agree. I agree.
How convenient.
I don't have any plans. I'm not going to lie. I will admit that probably one of my weakest points in music is writing.
Really?
I do have a lot of talented friends. And I know that it's just something that I've got to do more to get better at. I think post IBC, that's something I would love to do. Like I've got to watch, I mean, we've watched the birth of like, or the rebirth of like so many apostolic artists and their original music. And it's so inspiring to me. And I've been so blessed by apostolic music and I would love to be a part of that. One day, not where anywhere I could like say a date or anything like that,
right, unfortunately.
But, post IBC, post Bible college, that's something I would definitely love to do.
Well, whenever we finish our song, we'll hit you up and get you to sing on
it.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, whenever your album comes out, we will be promoting it here on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
I have one last question for you. Do you have any interesting Florida man stories?
Florida man stories.
I know you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my word, yes. I know what you're talking about. Oh. Okay, this isn't a Florida man, but it was the first thing that came to my head. It's Florida. Okay, so I live in a city. It's called Ocala, and we have a restaurant. It's called Gator's Dockside. It's like your wings and burgers, like sports bar.
Praise
kind
God.
Of place. And it's in the middle of like the middle of my city on a big road with like a ton of businesses. There's a mall. There's an outdoor mall. Like. All kinds of stuff. Like it's not out in the woods. It's not anywhere crazy. It's literally like in the middle of a business complex. And there was a couple years ago, there was a black bear in a tree, like right outside the restaurant.
Jeez.
Oh,
I'm not kidding you. It was like, and thank God it's not like an iguana. It could like fall on your head.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the result was. Oh, there's another story about a guy in my city that had a boa constrictor and he lost it. Yes, they never found it. There was like this big hunt for weeks and it was like the biggest deal. And
how do you
were, like,
lose that?
Scared. I don't know. It was in a cage in his house and then the next thing he knows it's gone.
He said, peace
and
out.
It was like, yeah, it was like a big deal because, you know, it's a boa constrictor.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's cause for concern.
Yeah. So that's actually a Florida man story that was like in my hometown.
I can just see the headline now. You talked about the black bear. Florida man injured due to black bear landing on his head.
Stop it.
Falling out of tree.
Right.
Golly.
Can you imagine? Like you're just chilling and whatnot. And then a black bear falls out of a tree.
Oh my word.
We would quite literally die.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, it has been a load of fun.
It has. And we're going to get into our last segment here. Let's go to Drop the Bop.
This week on Drop the Bop. It's getting kind of close to springtime, you know?
Yeah, don't remind me.
It's getting there. We're warming up. So this week on Drop the Bop, I'm recommending a song called His Wings by Josh Garrels. It was released this year. It is listed as alternative folk music. So, it glorifies our Christ. I mean, but it's very like it is what it is. It's alternative folk music.
Well, it has the word wings in it, so I'm a fan.
Right. Well, oh, Lord. It's very chill. It's reminiscent of springtime for me personally.
Yeah.
So I recommend you guys go check that out.
Abigail, do you have a song that you'd like to recommend for the listeners?
Yeah. So I'm doing a senior recital. I graduated IBC. And my friend who's in my recital with me is doing a song. It's called He Always Provides by One House Worship. And I hadn't heard it until literally the other day when he was practicing. And it's just so, so good. A great worship song. A great song for churches. He Always Provides by One House Worship.
Sweet. Those songs are going to be on our Instagram stories. We will have Apple Music links and Spotify links. They will be in our highlights as well. So please check that out in the description below.
Well, friends, I have had a wonderful time today.
Same.
I've learned a lot. I've experienced joy. I've experienced laughter and happiness. And Abigail, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a blast, and we simply must do it again.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of The Table. It's a family-friendly podcast that we upload weekly for your enjoyment. If you like that, subscribe and head over to Instagram and Twitter, where you can give us a follow at That Table Pod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and share this podcast with your friends and your family. If you'd like to learn more about other ways you can support the show, please take a moment to check out the description, where you'll find a short list that we've provided for your convenience. We thank you so much for hanging out with us again today. It's been our pleasure to serve you. And as always, until next time,
be blessed.